This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Seeing some ancient crosses in a new light and going on tour with a prayer capsule. It's good to be at your service once again. And with spring very definitely in the air and lambs in the fields, let's start with a musical setting of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Wallingford Parish Church Choir and "The Lord's My Shepherd," a musical setting of the words of the 23rd Psalm. For 150 years, the Mothers' Union has been making a meaningful difference to the lives of millions of people worldwide through their unique faith-based and community-led approach to tackling poverty, injustice, and violence. It has over 4 million members worldwide and is faithfully and quietly doing valuable work through its strong membership here on the island. As you might imagine, this 150th anniversary year is full of special activities, and we're talking about one of them now. A special prayer baton is currently touring around the northern province of the Church of England. That's an area covering the northern third of England and the Isle of Man. And the baton arrived on the island earlier this week and will leave us this afternoon. Now, the difference with this baton is that it's a hollow tube for a very particular reason. So let's go to the mountain road to find out more. I'm talking to you now from a surprisingly sheltered corner at the bungalow. I'm joined now by two Mothers Union trustees, Caroline Salmon and Reverend Jeanette Hamer. And we've just come down from very breezy Snaefell Summit. And we've been up there for a particular purpose. Caroline, what have we been doing this morning?
Well, Judith and I have just walked up from the bungalow and some other members have gone up on the tram. And together we've taken the York Province prayer baton that is at this time being on the Isle of Man, and we wanted to take it to all different places. So we thought the summit of Snaefell was a good place for it to go, and we took it to the summit.
The whole point of this baton that is, as you say, Caroline, touring around, is for each diocese that it goes to take it to places that speak of that diocese. The baton has been with us for a few days. Already, the baton has been in the hands of Maroun Mothers Union member, Mrs. May Corlett, who is almost 104 years old. Certainly, she's the oldest member we've ever had on the Isle of Man, probably the oldest Mothers Union member, would you say, Jeanette?
Yes, I think she is, and she's still very active and known as the branch leader in Maroun. So it was lovely that we could hand the baton to her and have her photographed, and that was great.
The baton will be leaving the island later this afternoon. It will have been on a horse tram, and also it will have done a lap of the TT course on the back of a bike. So these are all unique experiences. But besides that, and it's all been very well documented, lots of little video clips and pictures that we hope will go all over the place. But most importantly, it's what's inside the baton, isn't it? Tell us about that, Jeanette.
Inside the baton are prayers from all the dioceses in the York Province, and there are 14 dioceses, I think, in the York Province, and they will have all put messages and prayers on behalf of Mothers Union, on behalf of the people that we serve right across the province, and prayers for Mothers Union worldwide as well. It is celebrating and bringing before God all the things that we are involved with and all the people that we can reach out to.
The fact, Caroline, that it's 150 years old, we all know how hard it is to keep things going, and that in itself is a great cause for celebration, isn't it?
It is indeed, that one woman thought that she needed to get mothers together and for them to help each other in the bringing up of their children and sharing their faith, and to help families, particularly as we say in Mothers Union, in adversity, families when they're needing a bit of extra help. And that's what we're still about 150 years later. And it's wonderful the ways in which we do that across the province and across the world, and here in the Isle of Man.
Probably if we look at what's done on a worldwide scale, it is life-changing.
The empowering of women, that's what we're about. Numeracy and literacy schemes, particularly in very poor countries in Africa, Malawi, it's been very successful and helped thousands of people to learn to read, to learn numeracy, and to help start businesses. When you empower women, you help whole families, you help communities as those women work together and help each other to grow as people, but to provide for their families.
And here on the island, again, the work is very quiet.
We work with Victim Support, who do amazing work to support people experiencing all different kinds of abuse. And we've been able to support that by buying video doorbells for them to give to people who need them. And we've also supported Victim Support and the police in running information afternoons. We've had one in Ramsey and one in Port Erin, and we hope to have one in the west and the east. And that's about people learning more about domestic abuse and learning how we can support people. What's the best ways of supporting people experiencing domestic abuse?
And on a very practical level, Jeanette, the two shows, the Southern Show and the Royal Agricultural Show, hugely important baby-changing facilities. We love our agricultural shows, but they're not always the best equipped if you need nappy changing or breastfeeding.
Yeah, we, I think, are very fortunate to be able to get volunteers from our number to go to both the agricultural shows. And for many, many years, we've been setting up the tent where people can come and breastfeed their children and even give some toddlers a bit of time out, because we have some toys and things there as well. It's in the shade, there's chairs, and it's just a place where they can just sit and the children can just be for a little while. And it's very beneficial. We sit, we chat, they can have a cup of tea, and their mums just like to have that bit of space and privacy for breastfeeding. And we are thinking of perhaps doing something on Timor Day as well this year to support young families and especially young mums.
And the next thing that we're hoping for is a Mothers Union Gospel Choir.
Yes, it's in planning. Yep. And the idea is that anyone can join in with this. This isn't just for Mothers Union members. It's to have the choir sing at our 150th celebration here on the island on our Founders Day, and it will be at the cathedral. But we would love anybody to join in with this gospel choir.
You don't have to be a fabulous musician.
Nope.
If you are, that's so much the better. All you need is enthusiasm. Watch this space, because soon there will be a lot more news about it. Yeah. But in the meantime, Caroline, whereabouts are we with the baton on its journey?
I think we're just about halfway. It has travelled across the dioceses that are basically in the southern half of the province, and then come over to us from Liverpool. It came to us from Liverpool, and then it's going back across and going to Blackburn Diocese, and then making its way to York to finish up.
The baton started its journey here earlier this week in a special Lady Day service that we had in Kirkbraddon, and our prayer in Manx and in English was put inside the baton, and we're going to finish now by hearing that prayer, which was said for us in the service in both languages. And this is the voice of Kathleen Collister.
Slant as she as airs lave as men restore the brech, health and peace and length of life and happiness forever.
So, from the summit of Snaefell, our next destination is Kirkandrius. Welcome to Andrius Parish Church, its distinctive square tower, a familiar sight on the northern landscape. It has an extensive graveyard which draws visitors exploring family history, but it's inside the church that I'm interested in this morning. So, as we come into Andrius Church itself, I'm delighted to find that Waveney Jenkins is here. Good morning, Waveney.
Good morning, Judith.
This morning we're looking at something that is old and yet very new. These wonderful Celtic crosses that have been inside Andreas Parish Church, but they were over in a corner. They were quite crowded together with very poor lighting. And you, Waveney, who is a stalwart of this parish, this is your parish church and where you've attended for many, many years, you were determined that this was going to change. So, Waveney, tell me the story, please.
The smallest of our crosses, it's called the Thorwald Cross, was lent to the British Museum for the Viking exhibition, which took place there in, I think it was 2014. I went to that exhibition, and you took a very long time to get to the main part where that wonderful Viking boat was. They'd reconstructed it. Right next to it was just a single showcase. In it, one little object, our Thorwald Cross. It was as though it was suspended, and it had superb lighting. And it was so magic because you could really see every detail. It looked very different to how it normally looked, tucked in the dark corner of the church. A few months later, I was in our church, and I saw a not that young lady. She is very eminent, Lady Wilson, Lady Eva. She's extremely erudite, a great expert on the Nordic sagas. And she was on the floor with a torch, trying to see some of the detail on one of the crosses. I was horrified. She was delighted. She had no problem at all with being on the floor. And obviously this is a common thing with the archaeologists, because a few months later I found an elderly gentleman in a very similar posture around the back of the great big tall gout stone. He was trying to read the inscription on the side, again with a torch on the floor. So I just felt something had to be done. You know, they were in this dark corner, and people just walked straight past them. They didn't appear to be interesting.
Now, happily, Kirkandreas is a big church, and you've chosen a space that's actually within the church. The entrance area, since you've removed the crosses, makes a very nice room for hospitality.
Yeah, the Lego Club and all the exciting things like that.
And a cafe.
We hope to have a cafe very soon.
But our first concern is the crosses. So we come now into the main body of the church, and the crosses look completely and totally different, don't they?
They do. They've come alive.
First of all, let's pay a special tribute to the people who've been key to this project alongside yourself, because you've had a lot of help from Max National Heritage.
A lot of support from Max National Heritage. They've been one, particularly Chris Weeks. I always forget his proper title, but he looks after, he is passionate about looking after the artefacts and is unbelievably careful. He was rather taken aback when we started to undo their previous plinth. He thought it was made with brick, which would have been normal, and they would have had just a small plinth block to hold them in place. It wasn't. The entire plinth was made of, he called it atomic bomb shelter concrete. Ordinary power tools didn't even scratch it.
Well, I do remember you've enlisted the help of some people who were fixing the road outside and had machinery, but you must have been terrified of the damage, possible damage.
It was very frightening, I think. Darling Chris, he was very brave. I mean, they were incredibly careful, and it took 2 weeks, very slowly.
So, having then got them out of the ground, it's a question of reciting these wonderful crosses that tell such a story.
The two from the keel at Knockiduni, they could be 5th century. The others are more like 9th and 10th.
This is a fascinating little snapshot of the development of Christianity on the island.
It's extraordinary. I think they were probably all memorial stones. The big gout one, and certainly the big one at Merkholt, they possibly were more community-based, because, like the standing stones from the Neolithic times. But it's here, certainly, they've all got a Christian element.
They're our faith story and our heritage. These are incredibly important, Waveney, aren't they?
It's the Isle of Man's history.
The inscriptions are still very, very visible. You've got very subtle lighting that has shown up some of the beautiful, detailed inscription.
We've had such help, and we were shown how to pinpoint very much, as you can see, this one particularly, this stone. I mean, the writing comes down the side here. This is the writing that tells us that this stone was raised by Sandulf. Sandulf is riding on his horse. Here he is, that's his sword, and he's the hunter, and these are his hunting dogs. Dear Sandulf, he raised the cross to the memory of his wife, which is very rare. I can never pronounce her name, Arinchbork, or something like that. There she is, riding side saddle on a horse, much larger than the portrait of Sandoff. So it's a really important monument. It brings you close to the people living there.
Everything is spread out. It's interpreted with notes, interpretation boards, beautifully lit. It would be a mistake to imagine that this was just a plain sailing little project. It's been a lot of hard work, Waveney, hasn't it?
It has been a great deal of hard work, but very rewarding. The main reward is to see these stones just glowing. The other reward is it's brought me in touch with the most fascinating people.
One of the things, Waveney, that has particularly gladdened your heart about this is that you've got younger people in the church. That's no disrespect to your good self, but you want this to go on.
We do.
So you've got young people in the church who are very involved, very interested, and have played an active part in this.
Mega part. I mean, I call my dear friend Paula. She's my mind. More than my mind. She's got her own mind, and it's a very active one. She's the one who's painted all this, apart from anything else. But yes, we're getting all sorts of people coming to look inside the church, people who would not normally come into a church. And I mean, I may be biased, but I find the atmosphere within this church to be extremely special.
It is very, very lovely. And whilst I can't guarantee that when people come, they'll find you waiting here to chat with them, the church is open every single day and during daylight hours.
It's actually mostly daylight hours, mostly opens about 9, 9:30.
It's a lovely situation. You can walk around outside in the graveyard.
The graveyard is very fascinating. There's some wonderful old graves there, because there was a church on this site from, I think, 10,000, about the same time as these crosses were put. It was probably a very small church to start with, but there was an archdeacon from those days actually based here. So, it's special. Yeah.
So there is a lot to repay a visit to Kirkandrius.
Indeed.
So you can do that any time at all, but there is something very special coming along at the end of this week, and it's effectively your official dedication and blessing of this whole installation.
It is.
Tell me a little bit about that. First of all, Waveney, is it open to anybody to attend?
Yes, absolutely. The bishop is coming at 1:30 on Friday next, May the 1st. So we would welcome anybody to come, just to really join with us in the blessing of... It's almost like the coming out of these stones into the open.
It is.
And his Excellency, the Lieutenant Governor, is also going to come, and all sorts of lovely people are coming along.
The church is big. There's room for everybody.
There's room for everybody, yeah. Yep. Just to add a little for the future, we are looking ahead, and we want to set up a sort of pilgrimage route, because there is... Old Braddon, there is Mackle, there is Lonan, Old Lonan, there is Jerby, there is Kirkmichael. Those are the main collections, but several others with small collections. And we're trying to put this all so that there is information about where, and even on our captions, Andrew has done some interesting connections so that you can see where there's another depiction of this story. So we're hoping to tie all these crosses together into a really interesting web about the early history of the Isle of Man.
Because they all tell different stories.
They've all got a slightly different aspect. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Gout signed on the back, Gout made this stone, it says. You know, it's lovely to feel somebody left his mark, and here it still is.
And here it will remain, because now inside the church building, they're fully protected.
So and appreciated.
And that's the best thing that we can do for future generations, isn't it, Waveney?
It's a lovely thought.
So
Thank you, Waveney Jenkins from Andreas Parish Church. And that special dedication of the crosses is this Friday, May the 1st, at 1:30. And the blessing service will be conducted by Bishop Tricia and is open to everyone. Now let's take a look at the rest of our notice board. And I'm afraid we start with news of a cancelled service. There is no afternoon service today in Bagarrow Chapel. And it'd be really helpful if you could spread the word to anyone you know who might have been planning to attend. No service in Bagarrow Chapel today. Moving to the south now, and there will be two services in Port Erin Gospel Church. Mr Samuel Snodgrass from Londonderry will be the preacher at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. and all are welcome. And all are welcome at a Mariners service this evening in Ramsey, in the Bethel Church in Christian Street in Ramsey. It'll start at 6:30. Pastor Kevin Vondi will preach, and as usual, the service will be followed by supper and community hymn singing. And next Sunday, May the 3rd, the Mariners will be in Balaff Parish Church. Again, it's a 6:30 start, and it'll be followed by supper and community hymn singing. This coming Thursday, the 30th, being the last Thursday of the month, means it's time for another sumptuous afternoon tea and an opportunity to meet friends in Ballygarry Chapel in St Mark's Village. It's £12 per head, served from 3 o'clock onwards this Thursday afternoon. Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown is giving one more performance of his one-man show called Close Encounters, the story of his own faith journey. It's funny, honest and thought-provoking and suitable for all ages. On Friday, May the 1st at 7 p.m, Alex will be in St Ninian's Church here in Douglas. Free admission with an opportunity to make a little donation, which will go to support a local charity, but this part is entirely voluntary. This really is a free evening with a warm welcome for all. Looking ahead to next weekend, and on Saturday, it's time for Glenmay Chapel's monthly craft market. It's open next Saturday, May the 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre. Homemade produce and crafts and much, much more. Entry is free with homemade light lunches, including the famous bacon baps, tea, coffee and cakes, all on sale. Head for Glenmay and look out for the bunting and the banners. Next Sunday, May the 3rd, there's a modern interpretation of an ancient tradition in St Mark's Village, led by Reverend Ruth Walker. She says, next Sunday evening at 6:30, we have a mini pilgrimage walk around St Mark's Village, starting from St Mark's Church. This is to celebrate Rogation Tide, a time of asking God's blessing on our land and sea, agriculture, commerce and daily life in the village and beyond. This year, Reverend Ruth is including the opportunity for pet blessing. All creatures, great and small, are welcome as long as they're under the owner's control, please. There'll be pauses along the way around the village to say a prayer and sing a hymn, and the mini pilgrimage will finish at Ballygarry Chapel in St Mark's to close and have refreshments. This will be a relaxed, informal gathering. Just meet at St Mark's Church in the village next Sunday night at 6:30. And finally, next Sunday, Bride Methodist Chapel celebrate their chapel anniversary with a service next Sunday evening at 6:30, at which Reverend Brian Evans-Smith will preach. And that's all that we've time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge, where there'll be lots happening. The programme will include our first big broadcast from this year's Manx Music Festival, lots of news and winning performances from the opening weekend of this great festival. Plus, this month's edition of the Manx Sky at Night with Howard Parkin between 9:30 and 10. And then we'll finish off our time in the lounge together with your requests, dedications and easy listening music. Pop into the virtual lounge anytime from 9 o'clock tonight and I'll be waiting to welcome you. But right now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and all those that you love a blessed and peaceful week. And a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.